You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We are back at it another day, another topic about the Timberwolves to talk about. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn here, and as always, bring you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure if you have a smart speaker in your household that you're just yelling at that thing, play Locked On Wolves, and that thing will pop right up because we're on Spotify, iTunes, on so many places that you can download podcasts. So make sure you're telling your smart speaker to download your podcast with a simple command. Today, we're just going to be talking about the 76ers. And I don't know, Trey, should I yield the rest of my time right now just to you talking about Jimmy Butler?
Should I just talk trash about Butler for the next 30 minutes? Is that all good? That's what we agreed to, right?
I think that's good. You're fine.
No, I'm just messing around. I do have talked a lot of crap about Jimmy Butler, but obviously he's done some great things for the Timberwolves over this past year. But this was just such a crazy past 6 months that I think every fan of both sides just excited for this game. And I wouldn't be surprised if every fan in the NBA is just excited for this game. You know, even more so when he comes back to Minnesota to play the Timberwolves. That'll be crazy. But for right now, we get to see the Wolves go play Philly tonight. Unfortunately, Robert Covington most likely is going to be out. But I think we might see some Derrick Rose in there. But it'll be a really, really fun game.
Now, the last few games for the 76ers should have been all wins. I mean, you look at their games, they've played the Knicks, the 76ers, or the Hawks, excuse me, the Wizards twice, the Mavericks is a good team, but the Suns. But they've lost to the Wizards, they've lost to the Hawks. They barely scraped one out to the Knicks with a victory by 3 points on the road to the Knicks. They just have had some funky games, and they've had some real trouble really pulling away and really putting away teams lately. I know that maybe it seems a little tongue-in-cheek to be accusing a team of really struggling to put somebody away when the Timberwolves have had losses to the Suns, have had losses to the Orlando Magic, but it just feels like we're catching the 76ers at a really good time right now to be playing them. I mean, all the stuff about Jimmy Butler and what he's been saying about their locker room just happened, what is that, like a week and a half ago? They're seeming to struggle just keeping teams down and defensively holding teams back. And I think that the Timberwolves, if they really were hitting threes, could put up like 130 points on them.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's odd that we're hearing anything about Jimmy Butler saying anything negative in that locker room. Mostly because if he could have gone anywhere, I mean, Philadelphia made the most sense just because of how aggressive they've been in that locker room over the past 2 years. They've been such a heated basketball team a lot because they have like that, you know, an angry J.J. Redick always playing, a Ben Simmons who looks, you know, always angry too, and Joel Embiid who's antagonizing the other team 100% of the time. So Jimmy Butler just made sense in a personality structure from that standpoint. And now we're hearing rumors that he might be calling the locker room soft, supposedly. Ben Simmons has commented on this. He said they're not soft, obviously. So I'm interested to see if that's going to come to fruition, you know, bite them in the butt. But ultimately, they're coming off 1-2 in the past three games. They've lost to the Wizards and Hawks, and they just beat the Knicks at New York, only by 3 points. Kevin Knox had like 31 in that game. He played crazy. And, you know, they're 6-4 in the past 10 games. So is Minnesota. So you might be right, Colton. We might be catching them on a bad spell, and they've done fairly well since Jimmy Butler's been on the team. But we might just be catching them off right now, you know, inside the locker room. Maybe we can get in their heads a little bit, even though we don't really maybe have the guys to do that this game. Maybe Derrick Rose can catch them off guard, or even Karl-Anthony Towns can show up Joel Embiid. It would be nice to see.
It would be nice to see. This would be a really big win, I think, for Timberwolves fans. I think that it would be kind of an affirming win after that trade, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I'd like to see Dario Saric have a really good game here. More so than I think even Robert Covington, Dario Saric was like, you know, he was kind of like in the shadows. Nobody really asked how Sarge was doing after that move. It was more so like, oh, poor Robert Covington. He played like in the D League essentially and like got brought all the way up and then he was traded and he's like their hometown hero in Philadelphia. And Dario loved that team, loved that city, loved his role there. Wasn't happy at all about being traded. I think he might be a dark horse for a huge game in this one, being back in Philly. You know, it could even be similar to, he reminds me a lot of Kelly Olynyk of the Miami Heat now, but when Kelly Olynyk went back to Boston, he totally, you know, outed them, scored like 31 points and beat them in the last quarter of the game. I like to see something similar to that from Sarge. He's a very similar player as a stretch four. Maybe give him more playing time. I'd even maybe like to see a start, kind of like how Tom Thibodeau started Derrick Rose against Chicago a few weeks ago. It would be really cool to see Sarge get more minutes in this game.
I like that. I like that call of Sarge going off. That'd be really cool. And he and Rocco both have had their numbers take a little bit of a jump just as far as efficiency since the trade. So it's definitely something that could happen, that could go the Timberwolves' way. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and we're going to get back into the previewing of the 76ers. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky talking about the Philadelphia 76ers, who the Timberwolves play tonight. One thing I was noting on the injury report, it looks like Derrick Rose, right now it's saying that it's unknown if he's going to suit up tonight, so he might be doubtful to play as of right now, and it looks like Jeff Teague should be good to go with his ankle. Obviously, Robert Covington's still out, but if Derrick Rose stays out of this game, who do you want to have more minutes at point guard? Jeff Teague or Tyus Jones? Or is that something that you should be able to decide in the first quarter?
I think, I agree with that last point. You should be able to decide that around the first quarter. You're definitely going to play Tyus more than you think just because this offense for Philadelphia plays such small ball and they're so quick. So especially in the half court. So if I'm Saunders, I definitely play Jones more. Just right off the bat, but I know he's probably going to wait to see how they both look. That's what he's done the past two games, at least. Against New Orleans, he really gave Tyus Jones the end-of-the-minute game there. In the fourth quarter, he kind of let Jones take over the point guard duties and let him play with Rose a little bit, like we talked about before. But Philadelphia just plays such an interesting offense. I'm interested to see how Saunders decides to utilize his lineups in this one because they start Joel Embiid at the five, Wilson Chandler at the four, they have Jimmy Butler at the three, J.J. Redick at the two, and then Ben Simmons at the one. And that's a really interesting lineup. And it's kind of synonymous to like how we were thinking of putting Robert Covington at the four a few weeks ago when Tom Thibodeau was coaching. We wanted that innovation from him. Philadelphia's kind of adopted that style and placed Wilson Chandler at the four a lot. And it's kind of worked as a stretch player, especially against teams that have slower-footed power forwards like Minnesota does with Taj Gibson, who's going to really struggle and help defense to the perimeter. So that'll be interesting there. I'd like to see Josh Okogie have another 40-minute game in this one too. I'd like to see him all over the court. I want to probably see him on Jimmy Butler most of all, just because I feel like that was an apprenticeship here in Minnesota. And so I feel like Okogie and Butler will be a good matchup in this game.
Definitely excited for that one. And really interested to see how Saunders coaches this team, just because you're right. And we went into this one too, if people remember, going into this five-game stretch. This was one of those teams that we pointed out, this team and the Mavericks, were the two teams in this five-game stretch that both averaged over 33-point attempts per game. And so these were the two teams that were going to stretch the Timberwolves' defense and really stretch the Timberwolves and make them and force them into defending a lot of different stuff that they really don't like to see. And so of the teams that they played during this five-game stretch, the Mavericks and the 76ers were the two that you're going to have to see some growth out of the Timberwolves if they were going to beat them. And you need to see them really defend the three-point line well, or you need to see them shoot really well from three to keep up, because the 76ers are going to take a lot of shots from downtown.
Yeah, not only that, they're really going to try to catch Minnesota off guard with pick and rolls and try to really use their size as an advantage. Minnesota's going to struggle a lot with trying to keep a solid defender on Ben Simmons. He's coming off a 20-20 game himself, a lot like Towns did, so that's pretty scary to see. I know Teague would have his handfuls right there, or even Derrick Rose if he even had the minutes there, even Tyus Jones. So there's no suitable point guard really in the league to guard Ben Simmons, so you're going to have to get a longer guy on him. And when they get that pick and roll flowing with like Joel Embiid, it's pretty dangerous. Karl Anthony Towns is really going to have to show up on defense this game, which is a lot to ask, because if we're asking him to take more off the offensive end, then guys like Andrew Wiggins have to have a consistent game this time around. He can't go 7 of 21. He needs to hit from 50% or more. He has to have a solid performance tonight.
I'm glad you brought up Towns and Joel Embiid, because this is a matchup that Joel Embiid has usually owned. Like, Joel Embiid usually plays really, really well against the Timberwolves and against Towns. But they're playing them at the perfect time right now if you're looking at it from just this matchup, because Towns has been going off lately. I mean, that is pretty well documented. He has been insane as of late. And so this might be the best time for him to play Joel Embiid. This could be a really great comeback performance for Karl Anthony Towns as far as going up against Joel Embiid. And I think that'd be really important for him, because, again, this is a matchup that Embiid has owned.
Yeah, and also to add to that, like, in Towns' mind too, there's a chance he might not get his super max that he wanted, the addition of his salary, because he might not make, you know, an all NBA team this year, and he needs to make that team, I believe, to get that addition to his salary. So getting an all-star game, which I should have added in our last pod, which would help a lot to his salary, because just people voting and then him hopefully getting an all NBA team at the end of the year, him getting an all-star game is really important to him right now. It has to be, just financially too, not even just as a player in his career. So a solid performance against Anthony Davis, holding him under 50% from the field and having four blocks on Davis, it would be really cool to see Towns, and really helpful for him in his career moving forward, to just show everybody that he's right up there with guys like guys like Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis. If he can have a huge game against Embiid, coming off a huge game against Davis, you'll see a lot of all-star votes this week in Towns' favor.
Well, in the last 10 games, he's playing like he is playing like he's playing for some more money, because 27.5 points, shooting 53% from the field, 16.6 rebounds, 2.8 blocks per game, 4 assists per game, crazy numbers. And I really think that this is, for the first time in the Timberwolves' tenure, as far as the games that Towns has played Embiid, for the first time, it really feels like Towns actually could win this matchup.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for that win. I think that I'd feel more secure in calling this a win if Robert Covington was healthy and Derrick Rose was. I would be pretty confident going into this one. Right now, I'm a little edgy. I like that you're, you know, leaning more towards the win. But it's tough right now. Just without Robert Covington as our best defender, it's gonna be really hard to see, and difficult to see if Jimmy Butler is gonna take over in the fourth quarter, and who we have to put on him, and to rely on Josh Okogie that much, or even Andrew Wiggins, who's been a good defender this year relative to his previous seasons. So it'll be interesting to see how we use our length there.
No, definitely, and it is unfortunate too that for some. I feel like we're going to end up saying this a lot over the next like couple weeks, but it's so unfortunate for so many reasons that Robert Covington is out, but especially in a game like against the 76ers, when you really could use his defense on the perimeter. Like, it'd be so crucial to have him back for this game. And so that they're really going to miss him from outside particularly.
Yeah, and you know, we're probably going to talk a lot like this too with the standings, is everything's so close right now. The Timberwolves are 8.5. They're 1.5 games back from the 9th seed, 2 games back from the 8th seed. 8th seed's Jazz, 9th seed's Lakers. So every win matters right now. Not that every win doesn't matter in general, but this midseason wins really do count as we get to the end of the season. I know they're trying to keep Covington healthy. I know if he could play, he would. He's just that type of guy. He's a workhorse. But still, like, these wins really matter, and they want to keep him healthy for the playoffs. But it's going to be really tough if we, you know, lose these next few games against hard teams to, you know, keep that standing spot. So
you brought up a matchup too that I wanted to touch on quick, Okogie versus Butler. I mean, if Towns is coming in really high for the Timberwolves, Butler has been playing really well the last 4 games for the 76ers, averaging 22.3 points, shooting 58 point 50.8% from the field, averaging 6.5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.8 steals. Those are all numbers that are higher than his, except for the assist number, those are all higher than his season average right now. And so he's playing really hot the last 4 games, and he could come in and I think that he's one that's not going to take this game lightly, and I really think that he's going to be going for like a 30 or 40 piece.
Yeah, I think Andrew Wiggins was quoted last night saying that Jimmy Butler isn't going to treat this game any differently than he would any other game because he just plays so hard every game. But we both know that's BS. Like, Jimmy Butler is going to treat this game like it's the last game of his career. He really, you know, he felt he was really done wrong in Minnesota. He's been adamant about this. And whether it was just Tom Thibodeau or Glenn Taylor, whoever's fault Scott Layden, the fact of the matter is he doesn't like the Timberwolves. And if he says he does, I don't believe him. I mean, just the way that all ended, like, he's got to go hard in this game. Again, especially when Philly comes to play Minnesota, you know, at home, that'll be a really rough game for the Timberwolves because I can see Jimmy Butler just pulling up 40 shots in that game. Maybe it'll be better than worse, but we'll see. You know, Butler has, interestingly enough, he's taken like a third seat in a 76ers jersey. He hasn't really tried to be the man. He hasn't really tried to be the second guy either. Ben Simmons is obviously their ball handler, and Butler hasn't really played a lot off the ball in his career, at least in the past 4 or 5 years. And so it's been interesting to see him kind of just been a spot up shooter at times. And of course, he's had huge highlights, especially when he was first traded there, about hitting game winners. He hit a few in a row. But since then, he's been kind of quiet. You know, he's had inconsistent games too, where they've won and he's only scored like 7 or 9 points. And that's so not Jimmy Butler-like. He's not really going to win a game if he only scores 7 or 9 points. But just the 76ers team with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who are 2 superstars alongside another superstar in Butler, it's pretty tough for him to try to get the ball a lot. But I could see him calling for it a lot this game. And I could see Ben Simmons giving it to him a lot in this game, and Joel Embiid too. They want to create a good unity there, a good team there in Philadelphia. I know a lot of people have been saying that there should be a move made soon, but I think they're ultimately going to try to give Butler the ball a lot.
True or false, Butler's super disappointed Tibbs isn't in this game.
Oh, so true. So true.
I wonder if there's any, like, Jimmy Butler isn't a take it personally guy stands left that actually believe that, oh no, he's just out there, he's just gonna go out there and play, he's not gonna come out there fiery, he just wants to win games. I wonder if there's any of those people.
Yeah, like I really doubt it. I mean, the Jimmy Butler stands left over, like the real strong stands, must just love his like Michael Jordan attitude. And if we're gonna compare him to Michael Jordan, Michael, if he was like, you know, if he had the same situation in Chicago that Jimmy Butler had, like, he'd come back on whatever team he was on and just destroy the Bulls. So, like, that would be his mentality. So, like, yeah, I could see Jimmy Butler having the same mentality. The dude goes hard. And I would definitely try to, you know, I don't know if I'd try to put Okogie on him this game. But if Jimmy Butler starts giving the works to Okogie, you might give him nightmares the next few weeks. So I don't know what they're going to have to do or what they're going to have to put on him. They're just going to have to call some smart defensive schemes, a lot of switching, not a lot of iso ball. Don't let Butler take you to the hoop so easily. And Karl Anthony Towns has to play good defense under the rim.
Exactly, exactly. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to predictions. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, bringing you predictions for the 76ers Minnesota Timberwolves game. I'm unfortunately leaning 76ers. I just really think that in the second half, the three-point shooting is really going to bite the Timberwolves in the ass. I really do. They just, ever since that first, 4-week stretch where they were doing really good at spacing out the floor, they've kind of regressed to the mean a little bit. They are averaging more made three-pointers and more three-point attempts than last year, and a little bit better of a three-point percentage, but it's not by a big margin. I really liked it when they had that number up around 30 in three-point attempts, and now I believe it's still hovering around that 25 mark. And so I just think that without a guy like Robert Covington in the lineup, and if Derrick Rose is going to sit, those two guys out do so much for the spacing of this offense, and I just don't know if they're going to be able to keep pace when the 76ers go on like a 7-minute run where they're just knocking down a bunch of shots and J.J. Redick is playing unconscious and all that. And I just don't know if they're built without those guys to handle that storm.
Yeah, it's tough. I honestly would have probably, you know, had Minnesota maybe losing against New Orleans that past game. This might be the same situation where I saw an Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, Julius Randle team up, and I was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this right now with some hampered guys. And I feel the same way against Philadelphia right now, so I'm just going to stick with you here, Colton. I'm going to say that Minnesota takes a tough loss here. They do have a rematch against Philadelphia at home in Minnesota, at Target Center. So they're going to be able to repeat that game. So hopefully they'll have healthy guys then. It's just going to be so tough against this three-point shooting team who can attack you in the paint like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid do, and then have perimeter shooters such as J.J. Redick and Landry Shamet, who's had a crazy good rookie season from three, and Wilson Chandler is now an amazing stretch four, oddly enough. So it's going to be really tough for them to keep up with their injuries that they have. I think they're going to pull away with this one. I guess the only thing I'd like to see in this game would be just, you know, a solid performance all around from some of the guys who've been inconsistent, like Andrew Wiggins or Jeff Teague, over the past two games. And I'd like to see Tyus Jones get some good minutes. And then Josh Okogie, hopefully he can have some good defensive highlights against Butler. Ultimately, if they can hold Butler to a pretty low game, I'll be happy in this one.
No, yeah. Yeah, I think that you're definitely looking just to escape from the 76ers and just to stay fact-based here. The Timberwolves are averaging 28.7 three-point attempts per game. The 76ers are averaging 31.3. Problem is that Derrick Rose is out. He's taken nearly 4 three-pointers per game. Robert Covington is already out. And then Jeff Teague, just the last few games, has not been feeling his shot, especially from deep. And Tyus Jones, we know he's not going to take a ton of three-point shots. So you're really hoping that, I think, Sarge and Tolliver can make up the difference a little bit three-point shooting-wise off the bench. But they're gonna have to put in some good work tonight if the Timberwolves are gonna cover that ground against the 76ers. I think the route to victory. I know you don't really want to play into an opponent's style of play, but the Timberwolves don't have the man-to-man defense across the board to lock up 76ers players across the three-point line, and so I think you do want to try and put up 30, 32 three-point attempts in this one. If they can put up a lot of three-point attempts in that first half, that'll make me feel a lot better. But I do think that the 76ers squeak out a high-scoring one. I think this one is going to be like 128 to 125, 130 to 126, one of those type games.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Philadelphia's defense actually isn't fantastic. They've, you know, only held their opponents under 100 points once in the past 22 games, it looks like. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty terrible, or 18 games rather. So that's pretty terrible. One out of those 18 games being held under 100 points. But I will ask you something that I'm kind of interested in, like with all this drama that's going around with Jimmy Butler in the locker room. If Philly does take a loss to Minnesota in this game, and they've lost their, you know, past two home games to the Atlanta Hawks and then the Minnesota Timberwolves, the team they traded for Jimmy Butler from, do you think that there will be more drama in this locker room moving forward? Like maybe more quotes that come out, and then we might see some more trade whispers surrounding the Butler-Simmons duo? Like there's been a lot of whispers surrounding that duo for the past few weeks, and trade deadlines, you know, right around the corner. What are your thoughts on that?
I think so, just because the Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler are super vocal leaders in that locker room. So I don't know how many quiet moments you're actually going to get in that locker room. And I'm not sure if that's good or bad yet, but I think that there definitely will be guys on that team that take issue with not only losses, but who you're losing to, and maybe not recognizing the importance of certain moments and not recognizing when these it's really important to step up and clinch games and seal games out. And so I think that you will see some things. I do really believe, though, I really, really believe that the 76ers, it's in their best interest to trade Ben Simmons, not Jimmy Butler, in that situation. What do you think about that?
I love that idea. The only thing that I would say would be, I love that idea if they can somehow get a top one or two things can happen. They either get a top three or top five pick in this upcoming draft, and hopefully a top three pick. Or the second thing would be to get a young superstar that's similar in talent back. Just because I would not sign Jimmy Butler to a 5-year max if I'm Philly. I don't think that's worth it. And he said he's going to retire most likely after his next max contract. He was joking around, but he was being serious because his body's just breaking down. He plays so hard, to his credit, and that's what he's known for. I don't know if I'd sign him to that max. So if they're going to trade Ben Simmons, it has to be for a lot of talent, and it has to be to the right team that'll take him. Whether it's like even like a, I don't know, maybe like the Phoenix Suns or something like that, that need a big point guard, or anybody could use a big point guard, but like especially the Suns who don't have one. He could go to a lot of basketball teams, I guess is what I'm saying, but they need the right asset. But I love that idea more so than trading Jimmy Butler, just because I feel like whatever package they get back from Jimmy Butler will just essentially be the same they got with Darius Arch, Robert Covington, and therefore their team didn't change at all.
Yeah, and I think too that honestly the best version of this team is one with Joel Embiid on it, not necessarily with Ben Simmons. He really needs a team around him that's just a bunch of pure shooters, and I think that you can run the offense through Joel Embiid, and you can run the offense through Jimmy Butler, and you can experiment and try different things with that. And then you could run the offense through a guy like TJ McConnell and try and bounce a bunch of things off of a few different guys. Whereas Ben Simmons, I mean, when he is off ball, when Jimmy Butler is running the offense, or when Embiid is taking the ball down the court, and granted, that second one doesn't happen very often, but still, when he is playing off ball, it really, when you pass to him, like when you throw him a pass off the elbow on the three-point line, you're basically resetting the offense. You're not opening anybody up because he's not going to take that shot. And defenses know he's not going to take that shot. And so it just, when you have somebody else playing, or when you have Ben Simmons playing off ball, it kind of throws the offense in a funk. And then when you have just Jimmy Butler playing off ball, it kind of in the corner as a shooter, I don't think you're utilizing him to maximum effect. And so I think the best, and I don't think just having Joel Embiid post up, while he is a monster in the post, I don't think you're using him to the maximum effect either that he could be used to if you're just having him post up purely. And I think there's a lot better ways for that team to really utilize their assets, and I'm not sure if Ben Simmons is quite the right piece for that puzzle.
Yeah, I hear you for sure. And it's interesting because I'm probably in the minority with this one, but like I actually think Ben Simmons will retire as a greater player than Joel Embiid. I'm pretty high on Simmons, like Hall of Fame high on Simmons, and I feel similar to Joel Embiid. It's not that I don't think he's going to be a perennial superstar for the remainder of his career. I just have a lot of questions with Embiid's health moving forward. I know he's been really healthy this past year and a half, but Ben Simmons is the prototype of the future, like a Giannis. So I don't really see how Ben Simmons won't be a Hall of Fame guard or forward in this league over the next 15 years. I can see questions of Joel Embiid's body just not lasting, a lot like what's happening with Kristaps Porzingis right now in New York. But I still think that he maybe needs a new change of scenery just because I think Philadelphia has a chance to get to the finals this year. And if they've got a big, a big package back, whether it was like getting like a Bradley Beal from Washington or whomever, I think it would be there's a lot of potential for them to get to a championship that they should maybe, go for it and try to trade Simmons. But ultimately, I think Simmons is, one of the highly touted players in this league. And if I'm a team around the league right now sitting with a couple solid young assets, I'd definitely move them for Simmons.
That was a fiery hot take there, Trey. I like it. I like it a lot. And I think you're right, too. I think that as weird as it is to trade an all-star, I think that you do move the needle a lot more when you trade Ben Simmons just because of what you're able to get back. And two, I mean, it'd be nice to have some high-level draft picks from a team as well when a guy like Markel Fultz clearly isn't going to work out for the 76ers to try and get another really highly touted young piece in there. And then the other thing, too, is that if you have Ben Simmons out down the road, that also frees up minutes. I know that's kind of thinking maybe a little too long term, but I mean, just being honest, it does free up minutes for other guards like Zaire Smith, who they have on their team, who hasn't played yet because of injury. But you got to think down the line that could also be another pro, is that you're freeing up some minutes in the backcourt for somebody who could potentially be really good like him.
Yeah, and if I'm another team, I hop on this idea. I think it's a hot idea. I actually don't even think it's maybe like a hot take right now that Ben Simmons should be traded. I think that people should just be talking about this more. And I think it'd be beneficial for both teams. I think what you're saying is completely right. Philadelphia needs to play around Joel on that team right now, and Jimmy Butler too. Whatever happens with Butler in the future doesn't really matter right now. They're trying to get to a championship. Ben Simmons, again, one of the more highly touted players around the league. I'd definitely move him. And there's so many different options. But if I'm teams, if I'm GMs around the league, I'm just looking at what Dallas is doing with Luka Doncic. So essentially all Ben Simmons is missing is his three-point shot, and he's going to become the best player in the league. If that's what everyone's telling me, that Ben Simmons, that's all he's missing, and he's like 21, 22 years old, I'm jumping on that train right now.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, that's it for us. Both of us are thinking that it's going to be a tight game and a high-scoring game, so look out for that going down tonight in Philadelphia. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.